This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for the Midsummer Show.
Proudly presented by Midsummer Festival 2012. Midsummer.org.au. Celebrating queer culture. The Midsummer Show on Joy 94.9.
Presented by Midsummer Festival 2012. Midsummer.org.au.
Joy 94.9, it is the Midsummer Show, and I can officially say happy Midsummer, Adam.
Happy Midsummer, Janine. What a day yesterday was.
Oh, what a day. We can talk more about that later on. You must be exhausted.
Oh, today is the hardest day of the festival for me. Entirely.
Okay,
I'm dragging myself through the streets this morning.
You and the hundreds of other volunteers that were there yesterday, and probably all the thousands of people too, probably exhausted today. We'll hear more about the Midsummer Carnival and Tea Dance later on the show. What a stellar show we've got lined up. We've got Madonna. Well, no. Songs by Madonna.
Songs by Madonna. Yes.
Madge herself. I actually saw Madonna on the running sheet. I was like, what? Are you serious? But yes, In Vogue. We got Michael Griffiths from In Vogue joining us. Candy Royale from Stories by Starlight as well. All that and more coming up on The Midsummer Show with Ginny and Adam on Joy 94.9.
The Midsummer Show, live on Joy 94.9 and via podcast for summer 2011/2012.
See midsummer.org.au for more details.
Joy 94.9, this is The Midsummer Show with Ginny and Adam, taking you through to one. That was Jamiroquai there with You Give Me Something. Very exciting Midsummer Tea Dance and Carnival kicked off yesterday. Adam, happy Midsummer to everyone out there. Fifth largest gay, lesbian, queer festival in the world.
And getting bigger by the sounds of things.
Well, I was going to say to you, I rocked up there at one. And I remember I came later last year. Mm-hmm. I came about at 3-4 o'clock last year. But coming at 1 o'clock this year, there was more people there than that was later
Last
year.
Yeah, I think, well, overall, I think we've had about 120,000 people there across the course of the day.
Wow.
It's listed to start at 11 a.m. and all our liquor licenses and all our food permits and all those sorts of things kick off at 11 a.m. But I was there at, I don't know what time in the morning, but by 9:30 there were people coming down, and the first people underneath the tents were like 9:30. So it's turned out to be really popular, and it's was a huge success. The weather was fantastic. Tea Dance sold out. Hit its budget targets. We know we can pay for it. Ricky Lee was awesome. The Divine Knights were amazing. And, these guys that are with us today, we're on the main stage as part of the performances there. And I think everybody had a fantastic day overall.
I think so too. And I think I saw Ricky Lee perform when I was in the little tent there. And I loved her cover of Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance or something. That went off.
I can tell you a story about that.
Tell me.
I used to sing that song into my hairbrush in the front seat of the... In the front seat of the bus on Boy Scout camp with my boyfriend at the time.
Really?
That was out on the way to the camp.
Now, where is this hairbrush? Do you still have it? Did you pass it on to Ricky Lee yesterday? Did you pass the torch on? But can I just say, Adam, congratulations to yourself and all of the volunteers yesterday at Midsummer.
Thank you.
Awesome carnival.
I pass that directly to the volunteers and the staff at the office.
Perhaps give them a hairbrush, I think.
I will. That'll be the new award.
We got Michael coming up from In Vogue after these sponsorship announcements. Joy 94.9, The Midsummer Show with Ginny and Adam, kicking off until 1 and saying happy Midsummer to everyone out there as it kicked off yesterday. Adam, an exciting guest in studio, going to strike a pose. We only got 4 minutes to save the world, but we got more time with this man.
Or this woman. I don't know. Am I on? Where am I? It's Michael Griffiths, ladies and gentlemen, from In Vogue, Songs by Madonna. How are you?
Happy Midsummer. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
It's lovely to be here. I used to co-host in this very studio about a year ago on Sunday nights with Rosa, the Russian beautician. We were never quite convinced how many people were listening, but we certainly had a great time. We were very late. We did the midnight shift.
Wow. I can tell you at least two are. It's your mother's.
We'd had a few fans. Like, we had about three, I think, that we'd hear from religiously, which we were delighted to hear from them.
Yeah, following.
Yeah, we had at least three followers. But no, we had such a good time. So it's actually really fantastic to come back into this little home away from home when I was in Melbourne.
Well, welcome back to the Joy Studios.
Thank you very much.
Well, sorry we didn't have the tea and the Chardonnay ready for you at this time, you know.
That's all right. Yeah, it's a bit early in the day.
I'm not ready for it yet.
There was enough Shardy yesterday, I think.
Yes. So tell us about Madonna. How did this come about?
Well, Dean Bryant is a very dear friend, and he's also a writer and director of cabaret and music theatre, and he's been working with David and Lisa Campbell on the last three Adelaide Cabaret Festivals, and had great success with Liza on an E with Trevor Ashley, the Britney Spears Cabaret with Christy Whelan, and Newly Discovered with Hugh Sheridan. Mm-hmm. And for this last year, which was David and Lisa Campbell's last acting, you know,
last year as artistic directors, indeed.
They, you know, each year they say to Dean, "So what have you got for us this year?" And he'd said to me, because we're gym buddies as well. Yeah. It was actually about 2 years ago. He said, "We should do a cabaret together. What do you think?" And I said, "Well, look, okay." And I went away and slept on it. I thought, right, I'm a Madonna fan, which, you know, is kind of a given. If as a gay male in their 30s, you kind of grew up with her. It's, you know, it's unavoidable. And I thought, look, we should do a cabaret of Madonna songs because they're such good songs, and they're never given sort of kudos for being the great songs that they are. People talk about her in terms of the image and the controversy and the provocations and the, you know, the gossip, but they don't talk about these incredible songs, most of which she's written, at least as a lyricist, because she collaborates with musicians. So that was the kind of genesis of it, and I thought it would be neat if I played Madonna, but without mimicking her. So I just come out in a tie and very fancy pants that I bought in Auckland.
Yeah, so this is not Liza on an E where you can't
a tribute show. It's sort of, it's absurd in the literal sense of the word. So I'm, you know, a young man coming out, and I'm a pianist, so I sit at the grand piano, which you'd never see Madge doing. I mean, she does a bit of guitar, but I'm not sure how much live feed is actually coming out in her concerts, just between us.
Well, she's good friends with Britney. They lip sync and stuff.
Well, Madonna prides herself on singing live, and if you're there, I mean, if you buy the DVD of the live concerts, clearly, you know, some wisdom, technical wizardry is at work, but if you were actually there in the arena, it's live. Because there's bum notes and there's, you know, I mean, she's a good little singer, but obviously they doctor it for live. But certainly if you're there, she's live. I know, I saw her in Adelaide at the Girly Show, I mean, a million years ago. I was barely legal. And she sang live, you know. I mean, I think she lip-synced Vogue, but bless her, she was dancing like she was doing a Zumba class. And yeah, you just can't, look, you know,
there's so much production in these things now to make it sound like what we want to buy.
Indeed,
part of a performance is about keeping that level of expectation, anyway.
And,
so,
and if you're just going to mime, you know, the big dance numbers, look, I'm going to forgive that. Yeah. I flew to Sydney to see Britney Spears last year, and she sat on a crescent moon three quarters of the way through the act, and she mimed a ballad with her legs crossed, sitting. I'm like, I can forgive you miming when you're dancing, but I was really upset. And I wanted to be a fan, and I wanted to forgive her and be impressed by her, and I was thoroughly unimpressed with miming a ballad when you're sitting. I just can't forgive that as a singer myself. I'm like, you know, I don't care if you sing a bum note. I want to hear your voice. Anyway, let's not whinge about Britney. We're here to
talk about Madonna.
To accolade and Madonna.
So there, I pitched that to Dean. There is a story in the piece that comes about. It's not simply about Madonna music, is it?
Well, what it really is about, the concept, because we didn't want to sit down and say, you know, aren't these songs great? Isn't Madonna an uncelebrated, fantastic writer? We thought the way to do that, sort of in the subtext, was to present it like it's a masterclass with Madge, the queen of songwriting. Or the queen of pop, but, you know, and the accomplished songwriter. So I basically sit at the grand piano and tell stories about how I write songs.
Yeah.
And in doing so, because so many of them are autobiographical, I can't help but talk about meeting Sean and, you know, divorcing Guy and Lola, you know, raising Lola. And I mean, like, they're in the songs. So it's terribly autobiographical. And so it should be, because her songs are, but it's always from the point of view of these accomplished songs that she's written. And that's the philosophy of the show. And that way we get to say, you know, our philosophy without kind of being heavy-handed about it. Like, it's very funny.
Is a Madonna fan going to learn something new?
A Madonna fan is going to get all the jokes and all the references. And someone that isn't a Madonna fan will just be entertained and think, oh, wasn't that interesting? I didn't know that. But a fan, well, we don't kind of spell it out. You know, we don't say Sean Penn. We don't say Guy Ritchie. It's just we talk about Sean and Guy. And you know, like, we just act as if you're very familiar with her, which, of course, most of our demographic is. How can you not be?
Well, what I like about it, too, is, as I've said before about festival, you know, and about the diversity of festival, there are so many different stories and there are so many different ways to tell the stories. I like that you're taking Madonna, which is a very mainstream gay story.
Indeed.
For so many men. And you're telling that story, you're telling it in a different way with a different idea, but it's going to be, and we're going to get There's something familiar in it, but there's something new in it as well, and that's the exciting thing for me.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. We're very proud of the surprises in our show. Like, I come from a musical background and I studied composition and classical music. So, it's just me and the piano, except for one special guest for one song who might be in the studio shortly.
We hope she's in the studio.
I think I see someone sitting outside with a big grin on her face. I think she'll be joining us soon. So, I brought a kind of classical palette to some of the songs. Like, for instance, I sing True Blue in the context of talking about walking down the aisle to marry Sean and how. My mother was a classical music fan, which is true. So she walks down the aisle to marry Sean, the man of her dreams, to her mother's favourite song. And so I'm underscoring that with Johann Bach's prelude in B, in C rather, which is the famous one. Yeah. And True Blue sits perfectly over prelude in C. So we're sort of telling the story. We've got a classical reference and we've got a Madonna song. And so there's all these sort of different elements come together at different parts in the show for this. Yeah,
great.
We love it.
And Dean Bryant, as a writer, is
very, very clever. He
and
is. He's incredible.
He's been in the festival now.
He's well represented.
Many times. Many His first times. Appearance was 10, 11 years ago. So
wow, I didn't know it was that long ago. Yeah. Must be
Prodigal. Prodigal was featured in the festival 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and it made its return 10 years later last year.
I was there last year.
Yeah. And then two shows this year. It's a body of work worth celebrating.
The Midsummer Show, live on Joy 94.9 and via podcast for summer 2011/2012.
See midsummer.org.au for more details.
If you want to check out everything that's happening with Midsummer, go to midsummer.org or you can download the app Midsummer 12 or go straight to your iPhone. You can see what's on, the events, the parties, the theatre. The amazing stuff coming up, Adam.
And speaking of what's on, of course, In Vogue, songs by Madonna with the wonderful Michael Griffiths and a special guest who we'll hear from shortly. 45 Downstairs, Wednesday to Saturday this week and Wednesday to Saturday next week. 8 shows only, In Vogue, songs by Madonna. Check out those websites and iPhone apps. And Michael, it's going to be a fantastic experience for everybody, isn't it?
I think so. I did 3 shows for Adelaide, which is not many. And I remember just by the third thinking, I think I'm just starting to get a handle of it. And then I did 1 show in Sydney and I was, that's right. I think I'm really starting to get a handle of it. Now I get to do 2 weeks of it.
I can tell you from looking at the ticket sales, this show has been in the top 10 sellers of festival the whole selling period.
Awesome.
You are doing fantastic
Very
business.
Very exciting.
And people should get onto midsummer.org.au as quickly as they can
or get to
45 Downstairs and get a ticket.
Indeed.
Now, Michael, if this show is really successful and you bring it back next year, could you do me a favour?
What?
You know how Madonna collaborated with Timbaland? Can you somehow incorporate a Timbaland character or reference in there?
I have a Timberlake.
You have a Timberlake?
I do, in fact.
So
she's
got the
with
Timbers
me.
Going?
I have Justin Timberlake in the show for which is a lovely segue. You didn't even know that, did you? You think we'd rehearsed
exactly.
This? Aren't we clever? Justin Timberlake joins me for some comic relief.
Comic relief.
And we do have a little bit of a rap on 4 minutes, and it's not a huge success, so we actually sort of scrap that and think maybe we should sing an oldie. And so we do a duet together, which we're actually about to do live. But Timberland, well, look, in a year, do you think, won't that be old news?
Timbo? I mean,
well, she's got the new album coming out in March.
Yeah.
And it's Martin Solveig she's collaborating with. And I forget who else, but it's a few. What's his name? Rihanna's.
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown. No.
Calvin Harris?
No, and
this is all over my head.
You guessed up the music. Who did that? You
can see David Guetta.
David Guetta. Yeah, she's collaborated with him and Solveig. So these are big DJs.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a stomping album.
Stomping album. I like that.
I mean, I liked Hard Candy, but a lot of people didn't.
Yeah.
It was hit and miss, but I still played it a lot, and it's certainly not. You know, the disappointment that some people seem to talk about it as it was. I know people are tweeting and Facebooking about, can't wait for the new album so we can forget about Hard Candy. It's like, hey, hang on. There's some good work on that album. And 4 minutes was a genuine certified hit. Not in our show, it's not. It's kind of a disaster as we present it. But some songs should never be arranged for just voices and piano. And 4 minutes is one of those.
Okay, well, speaking of voices... Without a piano, but with a backing track, I assume.
Yes, it was a little piano on the CD I laid down. I mean, I wish we had could bring the grand up in the lift, but that was just too much to ask.
It's downstairs. I could race down and do it for you.
Oh, send your peeps down.
We'll send our peeps down.
We'll play another track.
What are we going to hear?
This, as it appears in our show, is Crazy for You with the wonderful Josie Lane as my guest.
Hello.
Hi, Josie. Hi. Thanks for coming in. Josie does play Timberlake. But for today, it's just Josie Lane.
JT, you know.
How's Cameron doing?
Yeah. Well, are we back together, are we?
I can't keep up. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, she says. Here we are,
Josie. It suddenly feels like Cameron, it's late at night.
Swaying room as the music starts. Strangers making the most of the dark. Two by two, their bodies become one.
I see you through the smoky air. Can't you feel the weight of my stare? You're so close, but still a world away. What I'm dying to say, you bet I'm crazy for you. Touch me once and you know it's true. I never wanted anyone like this. It's all brand new. You'll feel it in my kiss. I'm crazy for you.
Trying hard to control my heart, I walk over to where you are. Eye to eye, we need no word at all.
Slowly now we begin to move. Every breath I'm deeper into you. Soon we two are standing still in time. If you read my mind, you'll see I'm crazy for you. Touch me once and you'll know it's true. I never wanted anyone like this. It's so brand new. You'll feel it in my kiss. You'll feel it in my kiss because I'm crazy for you. Crazy for you.
Crazy for you.
Ha, 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 ha. It's so brand new. I'm crazy for you. And you know it's true. I'm crazy, crazy for you. It's so brand new. I'm crazy for you. And you know it's true. Crazy for you, baby. Crazy for you.
Crazy for you.
Ha, 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 ha.
Whoa! JT and Madonna.
In the house.
Madonna. Wow.
I'm out of time and I get the myth.
We get the privilege.
We did 4 minutes to save the world. I think 4 minutes to drink a cold water, I think, after that one. Wow, JT, go you!
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing the show. And awesome. I hope everybody gets out there and sells it out at
Happy
45
midsummer.
Downstairs.
Happy midsummer, everyone.
In Vogue, songs by Madonna. Thanks, guys.
A lady who says, lucky her breasts were small and humble, so you don't confuse them with Mountain Shakira there, wherever. Here on the Midsummer Show.
You can talk about breasts. That's not for me.
I thought I'd just, you know, throw in a bit of trivia there, Adam, just in case, after your hairbrush revelation.
Well, yeah, it's true. My hairbrush revelation, that is a bit girly, isn't it?
It is.
It's the girly show has just left the building. I don't know. Am I waking up? It is Monday. Well, look, we've just been talking to Michael Griffiths about In Vogue songs by Madonna, and we were talking about the way they have taken the words and music of Madonna and tried to tell it, tried to turn that into a different story and tell a different story through words and music. And I was, it struck me that the thing that's been going on for me over the last 2 years, at least with Midsummer Festival, is trying to get the idea out there that what we are doing and what we need to do a lot more is tell stories. And I've, as I was saying earlier, you know, we tell story. There are many stories to tell, and there are many ways to tell them. I think the idea of words and music is doesn't necessarily need to be as conventional as perhaps songs by Madonna. And one of the strong features of festival this year at £1,000 Bend, which is part of Midsummer's premier Queer City program, is a thing called Stories by Starlight. And we have with us the lovely Candy Royale,
who is
performing this. How are you?
I'm great.
Happy Midsummer.
Happy Midsummer.
You performed on the main stage at Carnival yesterday to a fantastic response.
How did
it feel?
Oh, it was amazing. That was my first ever Carnival, actually. And it was a really great experience. The vibe was amazing. The audience were really responsive. You know, I came out on stage and started with a poem, and everyone not only listened, but, you know, interacted and got involved and cheered to the parts that they really felt. And then we punched on with some really upbeat tunes.
And that sort of interaction with the audience, is that something that you want to inspire?
It's a huge part of what I do, because storytelling is two ways. And also, it's easier to tell your story when you know that the audience are involved with you on that journey. And that's
Absolutely.
What I seek to do, is to ensure that my audience are there at every part with me. And it makes their experience more organic as well. They're not just sitting, they're totally involved.
Yeah, well, you're going to tell us a story a little bit later on.
I will.
You've been performing in this way for a while now?
Yeah, I've been doing it for about 10 years.
From London, Barcelona, Manchester to Melbourne. You're a Sydney person, born and bred, and here you are in Melbourne.
I've done Adelaide Fringe, Brisbane festivals and stuff like that.
Yep.
So,
And how are we living up to the experience of your international career?
Look, I love Midsummer. Last year was my first Midsummer experience. And the thing I love about Melbourne audiences is that they're really open. They want to try new things. They're really encouraging and exciting, you know, excited. And, you know, a lot more relaxed than, I would say, Sydney audiences.
I was actually catching up with an actor friend who lives in Sydney, and she was saying her experiences of Sydney and Melbourne. I'm not starting the Sydney-Melbourne rivalry here, but Melbourne people seem to have their eyes open more to things. Would you agree, Candy?
Absolutely. I would absolutely agree with that. I actually have a bit of a theory.
Yeah.
See, I don't buy into the whole Sydney-Melbourne thing either, but we do have vastly different cultures, and I think that that's because Sydney is very much a beach culture, so people will be out on the beach all day long in the sunshine, and though that's not the case at the moment because the weather's horrendous. But then in Melbourne, where traditionally the weather has been less like that and it's less of a beach culture, they seek out totally, you know,
new and interesting things to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I love about Melbourne.
Yeah, now you're going to cover a range of different sort of topics, everything that might encompass being a queer person, politics, love.
Yeah, or just being a person.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing is that 50% of my audience may be queer and the other 50% isn't, and that's because we are all human beings.
Yeah.
And we all have our experiences with love, sex, politics.
Well, I was saying to Annabelle Ross, I think it is, from The Age yesterday, who's quoted me on the back page of The Age today, you know, what I think as a queer community we need to do more of is underline the value of our contribution to mainstream society, both in dollars, in creativity, and in human value.
Mm.
And it's human value and the human experience that attracts me to Stories by Starlight and all of the different topics and the emotions and the feelings that are going to cover. But it's not just words, as we were saying,
and
it's inspired by poetry. There's burlesque performers, there's a full band, it's words, it's music, it's movement.
It's a huge, I mean, it's really a very, very involved show.
Is there anybody that, who inspires, is there somebody that is an inspiration to you that the audiences will know? And
Patti Smith.
Yeah.
Gil Scott-Heron.
Okay.
They're probably two of my biggest
inspirations.
Yeah, I love Leonard Cohen, but I'm not folksy like that. You know, poetry on its own is a really great medium for people who like poetry. And there's a lot of people who are afraid of poetry or don't really like it or think that they don't like it because their experiences with poetry up until that point have been fairly negative. It's been stale. They couldn't relate to it. Or
bad Valentine's Day.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. but then, you know, when you listen to Patti Smith, you don't think, oh, God, it's poetry. You think, oh, my God, listen to that passion. Listen to how intelligent she is. Listen to the fire, you know. And I hope that people feel that same. They don't feel like they're sitting through a show of poetry, because it's not. It's simply not. It's very theatrical. I mean, how often do you get a poet on stage with a burlesque dancer and a three-piece band? Like, it doesn't happen, because my show is absolutely accessible and it's extremely intense, but it's, you know, hopefully people will
wait. And you have a website too, don't you?
That I do.
I know I've looked at a number of the clips that you've created.
Yeah.
It's candyroyale.com.
That's it. Yep. Bunch of videos on there, reviews from previous shows. Yeah,
and I'm sure that there's a link, that, in fact, from midsummer.org.au, there's a link to your website showing a lot of the clips, which I'm really excited about. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
More from Stories by Starlight with Candy Earl coming up after these sponsorship announcements. You're on the Midsummer Show on Joy 94.9 with Ginny and Adam. If you didn't know this was Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, I'm sure now you're well aware.
I'm flying the flag.
We're flying the flag proudly yesterday at Midsummer, at Carnival. The
and
colours were out.
Proudly flying that flag for the next 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
Across festival. Now, we've been talking with Candy Royale, who is performing Stories by Starlight at the Rancho Notorious upstairs at 1,000 Pound Bend as part of Queer City's premiere program. It opens this Wednesday.
It does, yes.
The 18th. Tickets are on sale at midsummer.org.au. And it is one of the things that I'm very proud of, festival. And I want to pay tribute to Crusader Hillis and the team, and Roland Thompson, two life members of Midsummer Festival, and the owners of Hares and Hyenas, where a lot of the work in poetry and spoken word and other similar kinds of expression were really seeded, and it's through that kind of long-term commitment from them that Midsummer has been able to bring it back into or support it as much as we can in the forefront of our Premier Arts programming. I want to tell stories. I want people to be well and truly aware that what we're trying to do is tell stories. And I'd really love, Candy, if you could give us a story today.
Yeah.
I know it's there. Well, what could you do for us? How could you?
I'll do the piece that's actually called Stories by Starlight. And basically, I wrote it because I was invited to perform at the Cairns Winter Solstice Festival, which I imagined, as it was a Cairns Winter Solstice Festival, that it would be, you know, lots of hippies and, you know, New Age stuff going on, and was really excited to, you know, perform there. It was a 3-day festival. I was also doing workshops and stuff like that. And it turned out it was a big bush doof.
So it was a bush doof.
It was actually a 3-day rave.
Right.
Bush doof.
I know a few people who'd like to go to a 3-day rave.
Thousands.
I've never heard that term before, so I'm rather excited.
Really? A doof?
A bush doof.
I've heard doof, but not bush doof. I've heard doof. Yeah. Bush doof, right? Yep.
Cool. And there were thousands of people. The music didn't stop literally for 3 days. It was like hardcore going. Camping was right next to the stage, the DJs. And basically, I had this little corner stage to myself to perform, and the people that came to watch were those who were so high they couldn't even dance. And so they were all sat in front of me with big eyes and these, like, this, they were, but they were so there. Like, they were absolutely in every moment with me, and it was the best audience I have ever had.
Okay.
You know, so I wrote this piece essentially about that. And if you're curious, you can log on to YouTube or my website and see this piece, because it's I collaborated with a musician and an animator, and the video is really incredible. So, I stare at the stars as the words flow out my mouth and imagine them to be night riders in fancy cars, laughing at those who think we're the only ones. Distracted by my mind, which flies high naturally in the time of dry, cold nights where the fight in me, it dies. I seek those stars to shine on my jaded lights and try with might to kill what ills me tonight. But the hurt only darkens, then worsens sometimes. Sometimes the pain continues to gain. Internal sandy plains, I plow through them upon trains of no return, straining on sleepers already burdened. So when you come to me, tell me you are listening intently and your eyes are red, glistening with tears shed, telling me I expressed all the thoughts in your head. Well, I don't know what can be said that my hand on your shoulder doesn't express. You impress upon me with urgency that your story needs to be shared, and I open myself because I think it's only fair. Remember, though a burden I can be, it's only somewhat fleetingly. However, yours is not the only story I will hear. Tonight, people will surround me and ask to be a part of it, though what it is I can't uncover. It would be like turning lover to foe, then expecting the love to flow. Am I teetering dangerously upon a precipice, waiting to fall into a crevasse so that I must claw my way out? And are you all the ropes that would be my rescue, or the final push to send me over? Words can cause paralysis because there are so many. I get lost and panicked, heart thumping through tangents, and I stress that this is it, the last time, till I'm surrounded by beating beings trying to see something, seeking connections amongst loose lines of communication, those dangling wires we clutch between fingers which should be locked into each other. See, now we are just holding on. Hold on, brothers, sisters. It won't be long till we are gathered up in the arms of more, seeking shelter from this life with each other. Come, tell me your stories. I will make them my own. Retell them till the telling becomes consuming. Consume me stories. I will make you heard until time stops counting, transcending those limitations of lips made of flesh, tongues which fumble over too little breath, too little spittle. Stories engulf me. I am aflame with your histories. I am burning like those stars shining in me. I am the fancy cars they ride, and it is through my veins they travel till I tremble and land here again, wasted and used for you. Your stories connect to me. I am them embodied.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow.
It's pretty, yeah, it's for me, again, I wonder about the rhythm. The rhythm is what encaptures me. How important is it to you?
Extremely important. See, I think that the reason that music is such a massive part of our life is that we are all rhythmic beings. And if I were to... The thing that scares people off the idea of poetry is that there's someone standing on stage shaking, reading from a piece of paper, and it's like there's no performance aspect. It actually loses the joy if you were to read it for yourself. Whereas if you involve music or rhythm and tonality and you work on that, it's something that speaks to our subconscious and not just our conscious mind. So consciously you might listen to the words, but subconsciously you feel that rhythm in a part of you that is not something that you're probably even aware of, but that's what gives you the tingles and that's what makes you feel it more. And that's why this show is so incredible, because I get to use three brilliant musicians. They're called Sloppy Joe. They have been working together for 10 years. They're predominantly an improv band, though we wrote together. But because they're an improv band, they will do four-hour shows, and they haven't written anything, and they work off the rhythm and the feel and the soul of it. And so that with my words, it's like magic. It just works.
And you can be taken right away.
Absolutely.
From the everyday and...
Yeah.
By simply being there.
Yeah, that's right.
You were talking about working with an animator and the fact that we can look at that on your website, kenroyale.com. Mm-hmm. How was it to work with the animator, and what were their challenges involved in that, and are you going to continue to go in that direction?
Look, I'm always seeking different ways of presenting my work. So I just worked with a photographer as well. I was commissioned to write a piece about roller derby, which is a pretty awesome thing.
Yep.
Hi, wow. Candy, would you like to spend some time with semi-naked girls on roller skates and then write about the experience?
Gee, tough decision.
so, Well, so, not for me.
Yeah, Candy, I hope you said yes. Yeah. Because I'll say yes for you otherwise.
No, I did. And so I didn't want to just give them a poem. So what I did was I got together with some models. I replicated a Derby experience and I worked with a photographer and I projected my poetry onto their bodies and we took photos of that. I also we hand etched the poetry into their bodies and spray painted and we explored different ways of text on bodies with the photography and light. And then instead of a poem, we had an exhibition of images, you know, and then I worked with this animator and the trick or the thing that we have to be careful of is that nothing detracts too much from the words and that they work together, that everything works together.
You've just given me an idea. In the Festival Club of 2011, Rat Simpson, our visual arts curator, painted bodies in the Festival Club, putting a performance like yours together with the visual artist live, using the words and painting the words on bodies rather than projecting them. And that sounds really interesting. And it's similar to a couple of things. Monique Shafter, who the Kill Room performing yesterday in a few festivals a few years ago, we had a thing called Party where it was just a big room and you went and painted on the walls and painted on each other.
Yeah.
The words, the story, it's all about presenting it. And that's
it is. And it's all about trying to connect with as many people as possible. I can never be mainstream. I will never be like your previous guests, like where they're presenting that sort of
work. Yeah, and look, and that's what Midsummer Festival is all about.
Totally.
And I really celebrate that. So I thank you for bringing Stories by Starlight to Midsummer Festival
at
Queer City
me.
At 1,000-pound Bend, opening this Wednesday.
Yes, you can check out Stories by Starlight, Candy Royal and Sloppy Joe. Midsummer Festival, 18th to 21st of January. You can check out candyroyal.com or midsummer.org.au. Candy Royal, thank you very much for
joining us. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Candy.
And we've come to the end of the Midsummer Show, sadly.
I know. We'll be back next week. And there's tons of things to do.
I know, tons of things to do. We'll be a bit more awake and lively next week too.
We will have done 1,000 things throughout the week and seen so many shows, we might still be this tired.
Exactly. This is the Midsummer Show with Ginny, and we'll be back next week from 12 o'clock. Stay tuned for Shane with the afternoon show.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for the Midsummer Show.
Proudly presented by Midsummer Festival 2012. Midsummer.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.